The Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. Good morning. I'm Mark Purcell. In the studio with me, it gives me great pleasure to welcome back to the Book Club at 91.7, David Bell. He is the best-selling author of many thrilling books, including Somebody I Used to Know and Forgotten Girl, and a new book out now titled Since She Went Away. David Bell, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks for having me on.
Since She Went Away, you moved from Ohio to Kentucky. Now, why the shift from small town Ohio to small town Kentucky here, David?
Well, I grew up in Ohio, so the other books were all set in Ohio. But now I've lived in Kentucky for 8 years, and I've been absorbing the Kentucky landscape and the Kentucky people for this long. And I thought I might as well set a book here, too. Since I know it, I feel like I'm starting to know it well now. And so that's enough time that I can finally set a book there.
Well, I know when I was talking to you about Somebody I Used to Know, I would say, oh, well, this sounds a lot like Miami University.
Right.
Sounds like a lot about Oxford, Ohio. You know, talked about the brick buildings. And that wasn't actually anything that you were writing about at the time. But I'm curious what, if any, true location is Hawks Mill, Kentucky in your book based upon?
Not directly based on any particular location. I think for all these books, I steal from lots of towns like this that I've been in Ohio and Kentucky. So my wife's grandparents lived in Troy, Ohio, so I know I've stolen some stuff from Troy, Ohio before. I lived in Oxford, so Oxford I've stolen from. I live in Bowling Green, Kentucky now, so I steal from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Basically, I'll plunder any mid-sized town, and if there's a nice geographical feature or a park or a building or something, I'll put it in a made-up town.
Well, this has been a part of your stories from the beginning. Why the focus on the small towns? What has attracted you to that life, that setting?
It's weird because I grew up here in Cincinnati, so and in Westwood, so I felt like my growing up was urban.
I was going to say very urban.
Very city-like, and I knew nothing about small towns. I thought every small town, any town smaller than Cincinnati was just like Mayberry. I thought that's what it was. There'd be a gentle sheriff and a town drunk, and nothing would ever happen there. And then once I've lived in these towns, when I went to college and a couple places I've taught, I realized there's all sorts of stuff going on in these towns. But I think that the books benefit a little bit from those preconceived notions that people have about small towns. Somebody thinks, oh, it's a small town, not much is happening there. Then these weird things happen in the book, and maybe the reader is a little more shocked, a little more unnerved that it's happening in a town this size. Plus, when a town is that size, people are a little more interconnected. You never really can get away from people who know you in some way, shape, or form. And so I think it's kind of fun to play around with that idea that everybody thinks they know everybody else. Then they find out they really don't know everything about those people. But that's fun.
I was going to say, you know, knowing that and knowing how fast the news travels in a small town, as they say, you know, very different from the big city. And thrillers, I want to say, I love your writing, David. The thriller aspect of all your stories, you always keep me guessing to almost the very last page. Where did your love for the thriller come from? I mean, you do it so well and have done it in every book. You keep on surprising me with new turns.
Well, that's really nice of you to say. Thanks. I just love stories. The way I think about it is all stories should be thrillers, really. I mean, if you're reading any book, you should be compelled to keep reading and thrilled by it. I won't say every part of Moby Dick is a thriller, but there are parts of Moby Dick that are thrilling, you know, like the whale hunts. You're like, I cannot stop reading this book. So I think all books should be that thrilling and compelling. What I really like about this particular genre is that the reader is coming in expecting those surprises and those twists and turns. Readers who read a lot of thrillers are really savvy. They're really smart. They've seen the tricks. They've seen these things before. So I feel like it's a big challenge to try to write a thriller that's going to fool a really sophisticated reader or surprise a really sophisticated reader. So that's a big part of the challenge for me as a writer that makes it interesting, to make sure I'm being able to pull the wool over the eyes of this reader who maybe has read 20 thrillers, 50 thrillers, 100 thrillers this year. If you don't fool them, they'll let you know.
Yes, I do. Well, I have to say, for every one of your books has fooled me all the way through it. You don't see any foreshadowing. You don't, you know, get a clue. You don't see the tropes. And really surprising. Fun stuff, David. David Bell, the author of Since She Went Away, his newest thriller, available where books are sold. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And let's talk about the story in Since She Went Away. I'll let you summarize it because I don't want to give anything away. But set in a small town in Kentucky, a woman who has disappeared, her best friend trying to cope with the disappearance of this friend that she was supposed to meet at the park late one night. And she shows up, but her friend's not there and has disappeared. But fill in the rest of the details that you can on Since She Went Away.
Yeah, it really begins with that sense of regret, that horrible sense of regret and guilt that Jenna has. She shows up, she does something that is completely mundane and inconsequential. She shows up 15 minutes late to meet her friend. We've all done that. We've all been late. We've all done little silly things like that. But in this case, showing up late has these enormous repercussions because in the time she's late, her friend has disappeared. And of course, naturally, what does Jenna think? Well, if I'd been there on time, if I'd done what I'd supposed to do, this would not have happened to my best friend. So she is dealing with that guilt. She's dealing with, we were talking about small towns. Everybody knows this about her. Everywhere she goes, there are people who are supporting her. There are people who are blaming her and saying, it's your fault that this happened. Why did you do this? Why did you let this happen? So it started with that whole feeling of guilt for Jenna. And then the other point of view in the book is Jenna's 15-year-old son, Jared. Jenna is a single mom, and her son, Jared, has fallen in love with the new girl in school. When you're 15, you fall in love very, very quickly. This happens in just a few weeks. He falls for this new girl in school named Tabitha. And Tabitha has a lot of mystery around her. She's moved to town with her dad. But she really doesn't talk much about her past. She really kind of seems to have this air of mystery hanging over her. And so the question during the book is, do these two storylines come together? How are they related? A lot of the early reviewers have been saying it's kind of like you're getting two mysteries in one because you've got this missing persons case and then you've got this young girl who doesn't seem to have a past. And how do those two go together?
I have to say the with Jared and the high school son of Jenna, the main character. I love the high school scenes. You just have that whole high school environment down, David. I mean, where did that come from? Because and down and updated, not from like when I was going to high school, but what high school's like today.
Well, I guess so. I mean, I think that high school is a pretty universal experience. Even though I haven't been in high school in almost 30 years, I think it's pretty universal, you know, falling in love when you're that age, having friends when you're that age, dealing with your parents when you're that age. I think that stuff's pretty universal. So really, it was just drawing on what I remember of high school. The surface details have to be different. That's where you have to do research because these kids aren't listening to the music I listen to. They're not playing.
Or in the way you used to
listen. Or not in the way, because I had vinyl back then. They're not playing the video games that I played and everything like that. So that's where you kind of have to do the research part of it. Talk to a real 15-year-old and say, what are you kids doing today? How would you express this? What phrase would you use to describe this? But otherwise, I think it's a pretty universal experience going to high school.
A lot about being a single parent in this book, too. I mean, Jenna is a single parent. Her husband has left her. She and Jared living together. And again, in those teenage years with the teenager parent dynamic going on. And it seems that that's something that's prevalent here in the small town, that single parenthood. Why did you decide that using the single parenthood as part of the plot was important? Because it does seem to play a role in the story here.
Yeah, I thought, you know, one of the things I like to highlight in my books, one of the things I think is the most important in my books are these relationships between the characters. And so it's weird. I was thinking about this. I've written books about father-daughter relationships and mother-daughter relationships, but I've never really had a mother-son relationship central to a book. which seems strange because that's the one I have direct experience of. I'm a son. I have a mom. I was a teenager, you know. So I thought that creating this dynamic between these two characters where, okay, she's a single mom and she has to work. So of necessity, she's a little distracted in life. She's trying to juggle all this stuff. Being the son or the child of a single mom and an only child requires Jared to be a little more mature and a little more responsible. So it kind of puts them on a little more even footing. But then there are times in the book when, you know, Jenna has to invoke the parent card. And so how does that play out when this is a kid who's had a lot of freedom and a fair amount of responsibility? He's a latchkey kid. He comes home from school. His mom's not there. What happens when those two things come into conflict? I thought there could be a lot of opportunity for conflict and also for connection between these two characters who are in the situation.
Since She Went Away, the new thriller from David Bell. You can learn more about it at our website, WVXU.org. Part of the suspense and that you bring to the surface here and Since She Went Away is the internet and the role the internet plays in news and in horrible circumstances like this. Celia, the woman who disappeared, Jenna's friend, and the way people react online. And I found it very interesting in Since She Went Away how you weave in. She's going and looking at missing persons' websites. You're talking about instant messaging that's going on. And to tell you the truth, it gets really creepy when you start to bring in that faceless life we have when we're on the online. And this, I thought you used to great effect in Since She Went Away. I guess you have to these days when you're telling stories, right?
It's inevitable because so much of our life happens online now. And there is a whole world out there devoted to missing persons cases. There are a number of sites where you can go and they have catalogs of missing people, or unidentified people. And there are people who have solved these crimes online, or they have located people online. So on the one hand, I think part of what the book is talking about are the problems with the 24-hour news cycle and being the anonymity online like you talked about. At the same time, the 24-hour news cycle and the internet can be a great resource when used correctly to get information out about these kinds of missing persons cases. You know, years ago, if someone disappeared, it didn't necessarily become a national story, or there wasn't a way for people in another town to even know that this was happening. Now we can know about these cases almost anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. Occasionally it does lead to someone being found and or a crime being solved. So it's kind of inevitable to have to deal with that in a book these days, I think.
Well, because I get so, shall we say, disgusted about the shallowness of the 24-hour news cycle sometimes. I loved how you took some punches back at the news cycle in the book. So I want to say thank you, David, for that, because you do show the foibles of it, too.
Well, like I said, they can be a great force for good about these cases, but at the same time, eventually it gives into the sensational, and when you have to keep feeding the beast 24 hours a day, it gets ridiculous. So I think maybe we see both sides of the coin there.
So did you do a lot of, to tell you the truth, I have not gone online and looked for missing persons websites or anything like that. But as I think it's Jenna who says it in the book, you can go online and find whatever specialty, fetish, or whatever you want there. And that it is that prevalent. I mean, I have no interest in going to look, but I mean, when you did your research, is it really that prevalent?
Yeah, there are a lot of sites. You know, in some cases, these are sites that have been created by, there's one called Project Jason, which was created by the parents of a boy who disappeared and has never been found. And that's a clearinghouse for information about missing person sites. But there's a number of them. And the joke I always make is if anything ever happened to my wife and they checked my browser history and I was looking at the stuff about, you know, how do you disappear? How do you make someone disappear? I'll be gone. I'll be up the river. 25 to life automatically. But it is kind of a fascinating world. It's a depressing world because you'll go to this site and it will just be name after name and face after face of people who have disappeared. You know, occasionally you'll read these things where it will say you know, you'll get this feeling no one's really looking for this person. You know, no one really knows what happened to this person. And young people who kind of fall through the cracks. So it's fascinating and it's depressing. And, you know, go down that rabbit hole at your own risk if you want to look into all that.
Well, thanks for another great story, David. You know, love your books. You're always surprising me and surprised me quite a bit with this one, too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Since She Went Away, the newest from David Bell. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.